High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And it is Wednesday, which means we get to speak to the wonderful Dr. Carl. He's our Australian science communicator. Dr. Carl, good morning. Hope you're well.
Good morning and good afternoon to both of us. So we're both happy in our independent time zones.
We are. You know, we spoke to somebody a little bit earlier from Washington, and I've put it this way, I feel less bad for you than I did for him, because he was waiting up to chat to us. So at least for you, it's the afternoon. For him, it was a really ungodly hour. Let's talk about, we've got so many interesting things to chat about. Let's start with language. How did language evolve?
Bow wow, ding dong, poo poo. These are the names of some of the theories that we've come up with. Mm. In fact, we've been trying to work out where language came from for many hundreds of years. In Greek mythology, Hermes, the messenger god, he brought language. In Hindu, the goddess of knowledge and speech, Sarawasi, she bestowed Sanskrit. Judeo-Christian, well, God gave it to us as a gift to Adam so that he could name the animals. But the trouble is that there's lack of evidence. Animals leave fossils behind. Spoken words do not fossilize. They do not coagulate in the air. There's no evidence of any early language. And that lack of evidence is the reason the topic became so controversial that in 1866, the French Society of Linguistics banned any future discussion about the origin of language forever, but that didn't stop people still going for it. And so by the time you get up to the 1930s, you've got people saying, okay, let's try and do it again, because language lets us express abstract ideas and imaginary worlds and things that we cannot build. And so it kind of began way back with the German philologist, meaning wordsmith, Max Müller, who deliberately gave playful names to various competing theories. Bow wow, bow wow. That means we just imitated natural sounds. And so you've got animal cries like dogs, bow wow, and splashing water, splash. You know, that sort of sounds like a thunderclap, bang. And, you know, bird song. You know, they all sort of sound what they describe. But English dogs go woof and bow wow, but in Turkish they go hev hev. Indonesian dogs go guk guk. And the words that sound like what they imitate, that's only a tiny fraction of our vocabulary. You say the word tree, it doesn't in any way automatically evoke a tree. So we can forget the bow wow theory. But then we got the poo-poo theory, which is that it began with instinctive emotional cries, like, oh, you spilled food all over the place, poo-poo, or ouch, or oh. But the trouble is that there's big differences. So on one hand, they're saying it arose from spontaneous reactions to pain and surprise and fear or joy. But an English person, English speaker, will say, ouch. The Greeks will go, ow. And the Czechs will go, ah. So, okay, forget that one. And then there's the wonderful yo-hee-ho theory, which says that, well, we humans, to get together, to do anything, we had to evolve. We had to have cooperation. We had to have social bonding. And so this suggests that language came from the rhythmic chants during collective labor, like the sailors pulling on a rope. Yo, hee, ho. Yo, yo, hee, ho.
Right.
And that's yet another theory. And then there's the la, la, la theory, which says it comes from music. And then they say, well, suppose we're all just hypothesizing like crazy here. So early days, you got the parents, you got to go out and kill a dinosaur or something, I don't know, and they got to leave the baby behind. And the baby goes, mama, papa. And so you'll sing to the baby while chasing the dinosaur. And did that make the way for speech? No. The bottom line today is we got nothing.
We do we just not, do not know. That's so interesting.
We do not know, because annoyingly, spoken words would not fossilize. They just vanish into the air and be gone forever. There's one way we could possibly have heard early noises where somebody is making a very thin clay bowl or a diaphragm.
Right.
And then there's a thin stick resting on it.
Yeah.
And then the diaphragm vibrates while somebody is talking. and that freezes the motion
of the sound
into the play while like an early record. Nah, we haven't found any of those.
Yeah,
you got any better ideas? I'm very happy with it.
So interesting. What do you think? 0618951019. Let's talk about the Venus flytrap. I don't know why we've always found this so fascinating, but we just do. What do we know?
Well, usually, if you're going to chase some food, you mm-hmm. have to be faster than what you're chasing.
Fair.
The trouble is that plants don't got legs. They're not really good at chasing. And so the Venus flytrap has evolved something with speed. And it can shut its jaws, or whatever they are, in 1 second, more like 0.2 of a second. And we've gone looking at this. We've been struggling for years.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that you make a kind of Venus flytrap by joining, you know, your wrists together mm-hmm. at the base of your hand, and you've got, you know, two hands apart. And now imagine that each hand has an inner membrane, you know, like on a palm,
mm-hmm.
and an outer membrane on the outside further away, and they're both under some sort of tension. And so they sort of lock there in space. And then what we've discovered is that it's not the movement of fluid. Plants do a lot of moving of fluid so that they can grow, they can follow the sun during the day,
mm-hmm.
they can go from droopy to standing up. But in the Venus flytrap, it would take at least 30 seconds, more like 120, to close. And during that time, the insect might go, mate, I'm getting out of here. See you later.
Mm.
I don't like this. And so what they do, we don't know how they do it, but the outer surface of each, you know, claw, what would you call it, each cusp, it loses its structural integrity within a tenth of a second. It weakens. We do not know how it weakens, but we've been able to measure that it goes really soft. So it's like a really hard blown up balloon, which is fairly tight, and then you suddenly release the pressure. And so on the inside, you've got those two things wanting to contract, and on the outside of the hands, you've got those two things wanting to contract. Suddenly on the outside, it loses all of its strength in a tenth of a second, and we don't know whether it's calcium ions or God knows what. We haven't gone that far, but we've measured that they go soft and stay soft for an hour, and then it just goes soft. There's tension built up, and it goes bang. And so now we've unlocked one mystery, but opened up another one, which is, yes, it gets soft, but how does it get soft? And the answer is, as of the 24th of June, 2024, we don't know. Come back in 6 months, we might have an answer.
That's where we leave it, Dr. Cole. Thank you as always.